Hello, happy Monday. It's another week, a new week, and a whole lot has been going on in the world of the Los Angeles Clippers. We're going to get to all that, but first and foremost, I'm Nikki Kay. I'm your host. This is episode number 3. Welcome, welcome, welcome of the Clippers Beat, all part of the CLNS Media Network. So it's funny. It's funny when we think about where we were last time we checked in. It was Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. A week later, Tobias Harris, no longer a member of the Clippers. Trade deadline madness going on. But all in all, I think the moves that the front office made for this team, good moves, ones that give the team flexibility and youth as they try to make themselves long-term contenders, championship contenders, after the era of Golden State basketball eventually dissolves. So, quick note, Clippers are now 31-26. They're the 8th seed in the West, half a game behind 7th seed San Antonio, one game ahead of 9th place Sacramento. I'm recording this on a Monday morning. Normally, I try and get to you guys on Sunday. Crazy day, crazy weekend for me. So here we are Monday morning and kind of a great fresh perspective looking ahead. The trade deadline was last week since we last talked, and what went down? Well, a whole lot. Basically, 3 trades, 12 players, 4 draft picks, and all in all, more youth, more flexibility now on this Clippers roster. And it's been made very clear by the front office that they're about the long term. Yes, they might be sacrificing a playoff spot this season, but hey, the Clippers are 8th right now, and it could continue that way, or it could take a turn for the worse. They basically saved themselves the agony of having to give Tobias Harris big money next season. And let's start off with that move, which kicked off the week on Tuesday. Harris, Boban, and Mike Scott were sent to the Philadelphia 76ers in return for Wilson Chandler, Landry Shamet, Mike Muscala, and 4 draft picks. Now, Muscala was later sent to the Lakers. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I love it. I love the presence of Shamet. He had a great outing in his first run with the team on Saturday in Boston. But more importantly, I'm going to miss the Bobby and Toby show. Boban and Tobias Harris, I think someone tweeted this, and I think we need to all agree and keep it on this on the same level here, is that Boban and Tobias belong together for the rest of eternity, and I hope Adam Silver makes it a league-wide mandate that no trade can ever separate them. They've been now together through 3 teams, and they're fantastic. So let's keep it that way, please, because the media gems that come from those two are irreplaceable and need to live on together for eternity. So we bid them farewell. I think Boban had a really nice post on Instagram about what Clippers Nation meant to him. I'm pulling up the caption right, the post right now. But, I mean, you just can't deny that those guys were fun locker room presences for the team. Boban posted, Clipper Nation, thank you so much for the love and support I received during my time here. Forever grateful for the opportunity and will never forget it. Very classy post on his way out, and I wish him nothing but the best in Philadelphia, along with Tobias Harris and Mike Scott. So then the second move came. Closer to the trade deadline, Avery Bradley sent to Memphis in exchange for Garrett Temple and JaMychal Green. That was another money move by the front office. They kind of basically swerved having to pay Bradley money next season as well. Once again, all pointing towards the flexibility factor. Then Marcin Gortat was waived. And then in the last exchange, Mike Muscala, like we said, was sent to the Lakers. And believe it or not, that's the first trade with the other Los Angeles franchise since 1983. Andrew Grief of the LA Times giving me that little nugget. Now, and in return, the Clippers got Michael Beasley and Ivica Zubac. And they consequently waived Beasley, which, you got to wonder what his future is in the league, especially if there's stuff with his locker room presence, which there had kind of been mumblings about that with him in the Lakers locker room as well. And then lastly, the Clippers waived Milos Teodosic. He had had some trouble getting some time on the floor with this Clippers team. So he is out the door. Holy moly, new look team, new young team, a lot to deal with, especially considering when you're in the midst of an 82-game season, you don't have the All-Star break to kind of mesh things out quite yet, but the new guys arrived with the team in Boston, and, you know, quick turnaround, trying to pick up as much as they can before the team took the floor on Saturday. It was the first time they had played together with all the new pieces, and it didn't look good at the beginning. Man, oh man, the Celtics were up 28 at one point. But somehow, some way, your Clippers came back to win, final score 123-112. It was the largest comeback in franchise history. I know we said that earlier a couple podcasts ago when the Clippers overcame the Pistons, but here they are outshining their old marks on the season. It was a stellar third quarter. The Clippers outscored Boston 28-12. Now, Doc Rivers, after the game, talked about how the team seemed a little uptight. And can you really blame them? New guys. Nobody really knows their roles yet. And especially without Tobias Harris, who's your go-to get buckets dude, how do you make that offense work? The Clippers found success pushing the ball in transition, and that's, I guess, the easiest free-flying form of basketball when you don't have a lot of previously established chemistry, right? Just go, 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 and try and outgun the other team, especially when you've got youth on your side as well. That's all advantageous. And with the lack of Tobias on the floor, the ball had to move around. So eight guys finished in double figures. And I really want to talk about the play of the new guys. Zubats getting some solid playing time. And after the game, Rivers was like, you know, amongst the coaching staff, were like, this guy can play, which is really cool. Zoo had kind of struggled in his couple seasons with the Lakers. Recently he's actually had great games. So that's not me doing him justice. But in terms of consistency before, he wasn't the piece that proved himself into the rotation early on and was kind of forced in by necessity earlier with the Lakers. But here he is with the Clippers in his debut, scoring 12 points with 9 rebounds. He was a rim protector for the team, proved himself early to Doc. So I'm looking forward to seeing his development with the Clippers. I think that boost of confidence, too, from the coaching staff can really help solidify what he is able to contribute on a night-in, night-out basis. Now, Landry Shamet, I am so excited about this acquisition for the Clippers. I think it was a great pickup. He had 17 points, went 4 of 7 from 3, 13 of those points came in the fourth quarter. So it sounds like he really picked up his groove later in the game as the game went on. And I think those points in the fourth, when you're able to find that rhythm and momentum in late game situations, that's a sign of maturity. And Shamet's already been having a great season. I mean, he's shooting over 40% from beyond the arc. He's going to be able to provide some valued spacing. Great pickup. And after the game, he was like, yep, you know, learned a lot in a really short time about this team. As I could imagine you would, just being kind of thrown feet to baptism by fire. Let's go. Another point. Gallo's back. He had 19 points on 10 boards. Nice return. That was awesome. And I think another underrated thing about the whole shift in this locker room with new people, new faces in, guys going out. Patrick Beverley, time and time again, Doc's been raving about his leadership and saying, like, even at halftime in that game, P-Bev was in the locker room talking about what they need to do to win. They were never out of it. And Doc had said that a couple of times about the team this season, is that with this group of guys, they never really feel like they're out. And that fighting, that underdog mentality and grit, if you want to call it that, I think that's all you can ask for, especially when you look at this roster and where the franchise's goals are right now. It's not about this season. It's about the long term. But even with that big picture looming, the guys night in, night out are giving it their all. And that is so heartening and so encouraging. Heartening is a weird word to say. I know we're used to saying disheartening. I don't know if I like heartening, but encouraging. I'll stick with that one. That makes you fired up if you're a fan of this team. Also, Garrett Temple, Doc said that he was really impressed by Temple's defense. That's something, too, that, like, when you don't have a lot of time with the team and you're thrown in it right away, it's really hard to pick up quickly. And Temple showing his veteran status in the league by just getting with it right away. On the other hand, Jamichael Green, he had 2 points, and Doc said, working on figuring it out, but can you blame him? So exciting stuff. Like, that was a really cool moment for this new look squad taking the floor, getting a big, big win in TD Garden. And that pushed them up to 3-2 on this super duper long road trip they're on, right? We've got a 6-game road trip out east. And, you know, you look at what the Clippers had done. They had suffered a big loss in Indiana earlier in the week. And that was like they had a shorthanded roster. Weird thing about that game, there were 2 bat delays. And then just last night, there was news coming out that arena officials are saying that anyone who could have come into contact with those bats might have rabies or might be exposed to rabies. So, little suspect. As far as I know, the bats didn't touch any of the guys on the team. But anyways, that bat delay aside, you look at the road trip, right? And so we start off with a win against the Pistons, a loss in Toronto. Clippers won in Charlotte, narrow win, 117-115. And then they lose in Indiana, and then they win big in Boston. 3-2, here we are. Final game of the road trip is actually tonight, Monday night, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast time, tip-off in Minnesota. And this is going to be interesting. The Timberwolves need a win bad. They've actually lost their last 4 games, 6 of their last 7. These 2 teams faced off in Minnesota, or in November, sorry. And the Clippers won then, 120-109. And you see the Wolves as a team that is really probably hungry, thirsty for a win. I'm going to be really curious to see how this offense continues to unlock with the new guys. Doc even mentioned, I didn't mention this earlier, I probably should have said this earlier, that with Shamit, like, he's been using some JJ packages for him, and it's probably funny for Shamit coming from Philadelphia, where, you know, he was able to play with JJ Redick, and then now, you know, going to JJ's first stop or last stop before the 76ers. So it seems like he might be able to really benefit from the tutelage or the playing time that Doc and JJ had with each other in terms of Doc coaching for JJ. So, sorry, I said that really poorly, but basically, can Landry follow in the footsteps of JJ Redick? That would be awesome because we love ourselves some threes and we will take all the spacing we can get. So I'm really intrigued to see that and how it continues to evolve. I want to see how the consistency of Zubats pans out. If, you know, that was kind of like a standout game for him in terms of just being on a new team, making an immediate impact, or if he's able to uphold those numbers maybe almost get a double-double in his contributions every night, that's going to be incredible for the Clippers front court. Let's see. Well, the Clippers, after tonight, they've got one game left before the All-Star break. Man, that All-Star break has been looming. Seems like it's just kind of lingering there, and we're like inching closer and closer, but it's still not here. Anyways, now it's here. It's two games away for the Clippers. The Minnesota game tonight, and on Wednesday, they take on Phoenix at 7:30. That's a home game. Whoa, crazy. You can get a ticket as low as $9. I like that. But yeah, then it's All-Star break. And speaking of All-Star break, we did have some good news. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, really butchered that one. Let me try it again. Sorry, it's morning. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was named to the world team for the Rising Stars Challenge. So All-Star weekend won't be completely moot for Clippers fans. They can be watching and rooting during the Rising Stars Challenge. But yeah, much needed time away, and maybe time to like really bunker down and figure out how this team can actually establish some sort of identity with all the new pieces as they get ready to make a push for that, to keep that eighth spot. I mean, it's crazy to think that they're still in the mix, considering the long-term plans and considering how tough the West is night in, night out. So I'm looking at the Sacramento Kings schedule, who are one game behind the Clippers. I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but, tough slate, tough next three games for the Kings. They've got Denver, Golden State, OKC. So while the Clippers have Minnesota, Phoenix, and then first game after the All-Star break will be against the Grizzlies. If they can win all three of those, and, you know, Kings probably drop a couple against some of the top teams in the West, I think that can help further the gap. And the Kings and Clippers will actually face off again March 1st, so that's not too far away. That'll probably be an important one in the grand scheme of the playoff picture landscape. You guys, continuing to evolve the podcast, want to develop more segments, but as you know, as we've talked before, it's Monday, we're waking up, we're getting our bread, and we're giving bread as well. And this Monday, let's get this bread, the loaf goes to Landry Shamet. I'm really excited to have him on this roster, if you couldn't already tell. Really stoked to see what he can do with Doc Rivers coaching him, and hopefully unlocking more opportunities on a team which is the offensive identity right now is sharing the basketball. So if he can be that bona fide spacer and that knockdown three guy, I want to see just how much his confidence grows and how much his consistency grows as well. So continuing to develop and hopefully getting more guests lined up for the post All-Star break shenanigans. My name is Nikki K, in case you forgot, and you can follow me on Twitter at Nikki K TV, Instagram, lil.nikki.k. I would love for you to send me your Twitter questions, interact, engage, love all the Clippers conversation we can have. And more importantly, as this podcast continues to grow, like, comment, subscribe, and you can find this pod wherever you get your podcasts at. I'm going to try that one more time. You can find this pod wherever you get... one more time. And remember, you can find this pod wherever you get your pods at or at clns.com. That's it for now. Have a fantastic day. I'll check in with you in a week.